Good day, everyone. And welcome to our guests who have come to hear Teisho this afternoon. Today we'll be continuing our exploration of the teachings of Zhaozhou. We'll be looking at a case from the Wu Men Quan, case number 11. Zhaozhou and the Hermits. The case reads, Zhaozhou went to a hermit's hut and asked, "Are you in? Are you in?" The hermit lifted up his fist. Zhaozhou said, "The water is too shallow for a ship to anchor." And he left. Again he went to a hermit's hut and asked, "Are you in? Are you in?" This hermit, too, lifted up his fist. Zhaozhou said, "Freely you give, freely you take away. Freely you bestow life, freely you destroy." And he made a profound bow. Wu Men's commentary. Both stuck up a fist. Why is one accepted, the other rejected? Tell me, what is the core of the complication? If you can give a turning word on this matter, you will see that Zhaozhou's tongue has no bone in it. He is unrestrained in saying what he wants to say, utterly free to either help one rise up or to push the other down. Be that as it may, can you realize also that Zhaozhou was seen through by the two hermits? Furthermore, if you say that one hermit is superior and the other inferior, you have not an open eye. Neither have you an open eye if you suppose there is no difference between them. That's vintage Momon. A woman's verse. His eye is a shooting star, his activity like lightning, a sword that kills, a sword that gives life. Zhan Master Zhaozhou Zongshen, whose dates are 778 to 897 of the Common Era, had just about the longest and most remarkable career of any of the Tang Era masters. As was described yesterday by Karen Sensei, he entered Nanchuan's monastery at age 17 as a novice. A couple of years later, he had his first great insight, described in case number 19, Nanchuan's Ordinary Mind is the Way. He stayed with Nanchuan until the master's death in the year 835. After the obligatory three-year period of mourning for his late teacher, Zhaozhou, at age 60 or thereabouts, embarked on a 20-year pilgrimage over the length and breadth of China, meeting with masters, monks, hermits, and lay folk, all in order to continually hone and perfect his own understanding. He said upon setting out, "If a 7-year-old child is superior to me, I will learn from him. If a 100-year-old man is inferior to me, I will teach him." That's a remarkably egalitarian outlook in a society as stratified and class-conscious as Great Tang China. At long last, when Zhaozhou was 80 years old, somebody finally managed to persuade him to settle down and teach. He took up residence at Guanyin Temple, a small, rather run-down monastery in the northern city of Zhaozhou, from which he took his name. He taught until his death at the age of 120. The present case probably comes from his years of traveling. Zhaozhou went to a hermit's hut and asked, Are you in? Are you in? The hermit lifted up his fist. Zhao Zhou said, "The water is too shallow for a ship to anchor," and he left. Again, he went to a hermit's hut and asked, "Are you in? Are you in?" This hermit, too, lifted up his fist. Zhao Zhou said, "Freely you give, freely you take away. Freely you bestow life, freely you destroy." And he made a profound bow. Zhao Zhou went to a hermit's hut. At that time, and even to some extent today, a period of hermetic practice is considered a final step in refining one's understanding, but only after many, many years of training under a teacher. If one takes up that practice before one is ready, it can lead to problems. Witness Zhu Zhe's attempt at solitary practice in case number 3 in the Wu Men Guan. He was challenged by a nun who said, "If you can say an appropriate word, I will take off my hat." Zhu Zhe was stymied. He could say nothing, and the nun left. As it turned out, it was a good thing, because his enlightenment only came after he realized that he was not yet ready to do solitary retreat practice. And as far as I know, for all his travels, Zhao Zhou never did much in the way of hermetic practice either. So it works for some, but not for others. In any case, we have to assume that these hermits were deeply realized persons, doing in their own way what Zhao Zhou was doing in his, continuing their practice of the Dharma after long years of training. Zhao Zhou went to a hermit's hut and asked, "Are you in? Are you in? Are you in? Are you there? Are you really here in this moment? In this very place? Where is your practice? Right here, right now. Show me your true self. Speak, speak." How many times are we faced with that question? In the Doksan room? That's relatively simple. How about our lives in the world? Can we come forth without concern, without creating an image, without separation? Not so easy. What about these hermits? Are you in? The hermit lifted up his fist. Is that a good answer? How would you respond to such a question? Zhao Zhou said, "The water is too shallow for a ship to anchor," and he left. Now, why did he say that? Is this a criticism? Is he putting down the hermit? Again, he went to a hermit's hut and asked, "Are you in? Are you in?" This hermit, too, lifted up his fist. Zhao Zhou said, "Freely you give, freely you take away. Freely you bestow life, freely you destroy." And he made a profound bow. Is this praise? A compliment? Same question, same response. But Zhao Zhou's comments are different. A fist goes up. Another fist goes up. Are they the same? Or are they different? And just to add to the confusion, in some translations of this case, it's the same hermit that Zhao Zhou visits twice. Both times the hermit raises a fist, but each time Zhao Zhou's comment is different. In case number 26 of the Wu Men Guan, the great Fa Yin of Qingliang took the high seat before the midday meal to preach to his assembly. Raising his hand, he pointed to the bamboo blinds. Two monks went and rolled them up in the same manner. Fa Yen said, "One gains, one loses." They rolled up the blinds in the same manner. Yet one gains, one loses. What was gained? What was lost? Did either of the hermits gain or lose something? Was Zhao Zhou giving in one instance and taking away in the other? Gain, loss, up, down, rich, poor, good, bad. It's easy to get caught up in comparisons of everything to everything else. There's no question that I am older than just about everyone in this room. That's a fact. How do I deal with it? How do you deal with it? Are we the same or are we different? We say that in Buddha, all is the same, no high, no low. Doesn't that contradict the fact? This koan is forcing us to confront the conundrum. Wu Min's commentary. Both stuck up a fist. Why is one accepted, the other rejected? Tell me, what is the core of the complication? If you can give a turning word on this matter, you will see that Zhao Zhou's tongue has no bone in it. He is unrestrained in saying what he wants to say, utterly free to either help one rise up or push the other down. Be that as it may, can you realize also that Zhao Zhou was seen through by the two hermits? Furthermore, if you say that one hermit is superior and the other inferior, you have not an open eye. Neither have you an open eye if you suppose there is no difference between them. Why was one accepted, the other rejected? I remember years ago hearing a student, this was back in Rochester at a session, after session, and a student was complaining, I flunked the last two doksan. Now, how do you manage to do that? I don't think Roshi kicked him down the stairs or anything. Dharma encounters, Dharma combat, doksan, shosan, whatever you call them, they're not about winning and losing. They're not about the individual. They're not about the person. It's not pass, fail, win, loss, accept, reject, gaining, losing. I got rained on. Have I been rejected by the sky? Or was I just being watered like a houseplant? So why then does Zhao Zhou say one thing about the first hermit and something else about the other? And does it really matter? Does it matter to you? Does it matter to the hermits? You see the trouble we get into when we start comparing this fist with that, that with this, past to present, here to there. What is with what we would like it to be? Gee, why can't things be like what they were? Why can't I be like someone else? What about yourself right now? Are you sitting there comparing your practice in session with that of others? Are you comparing your practice right now to that of yesterday or to that of a couple of minutes ago? Are you setting yourself apart from a goal of enlightenment? All that just keeps you on the wheel of samsara, around and around. Birth, death, birth, death. If you can give a turning word on the matter, you will see that Zhao Zhou's tongue has no bone in it. He is unrestrained in saying what he wants to say, utterly free to either help one rise up or push the other down. Yes, the rain is completely free to fall here and not there. The wind is free to blow north, south, east, or west. Where is the accepting? Where is the rejecting? Zhao Zhou says one thing here, another thing there. Where is the raising up? Where is the pushing down? And Wu Men continues, be that as it may, can you realize also that Zhao Zhou was seen through by the two hermits? The koan doesn't say how either of the two hermits reacted to Zhao Zhou's words, or whether they reacted at all. What is it to see? What is it to be seen? Practice realization is not a one-way street. It's not one of those one-way mirrors they have in interrogation rooms. The only way that the monks could be completely open to Zhao Zhou is if at the same moment Zhao Zhou was completely open to the monks. The more we try to penetrate the great matter, as if we were drilling for oil or something, the more closed off we actually become. Practice is a matter of letting down the barriers, opening up. In a verse in the Blue Cliff Record, Shui To writes, freely I watch a flying bird and trace its path. Furthermore, if you say that one hermit is superior and the other inferior, you have not an open eye. Neither have you an open eye if you suppose there is no difference between them. They each raise the fist in the same way. And yet these two hermits are different people. Even if by some bizarre happenstance they were identical twins, they would still be two different people. Or maybe it's just one hermit at two different times. Are you exactly the same person you were last year? Or at the last breath? Does that matter? Moon and clouds the same. Mountains and valleys different. The hermits each put up a fist in the same manner. Zhao Zhou's comments are different. All are expressions of the great reality. Nothing is separate. The Wu Men's verse. His eye is a shooting star, his activity like lightning. A sword that kills, a sword that gives life. Wu Men could be talking about Zhao Zhou here, or he could be talking about either or both of the two hermits. Are you in? Are you in? With no effort or thought, a fist goes up, shooting stars and lightning, two mirrors reflecting each other. Could Wu Men be talking about us? The sword that kills, the sword that gives life are one and the same. It is our own practice, our own realization, that must at the same time kill and give life. What is it that's killed? What comes to life? To see clearly the emptiness of the separate ego self is to die the great death. What is it then to come back to life? Are you in? Are you in? Together with all beings, we realize the way.